Blog Talk Radio.
Host Merle Exit. Isn't that coincidence? This is Friday night and the lights are low. It is. It happens to be Friday night here. Well, night, it's like 6:30 p.m. on my time here in New York City. Well, here's the thing. I had just recently gotten back from... I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. That was... Eunice. Okay. As I said, I recently got back. That means that Esther also wanted to say hello as well. Well, they came with me to Long Beach, California. Oh, yes. We had such a great time. Along with, well, you see, it was supposed to start out as my, I had wanted to have my whole crew with me, my crew of two. Of Nancy Kazicki and Barbara Coletta, and due to doggy problems, Nancy had to stay home, and Barbara joined me. Thank goodness she does all this wonderful tech stuff for me. Otherwise, like the show tonight, I wouldn't really have because it's all pre-recorded interviews. But so we, when we started out, what happened is I had gotten a whole itinerary, and the first place I was staying at was the Avia Hotel, nice boutique hotel. Let's see where it was. I was in downtown. It was in downtown Long Beach, and they were very clear there was supposed to be three of us, and we had this room. It was a nice room, large room. A large studio with a king bed and a pull-out sofa and I mean, gorgeous bathroom with walk-in shower. The shower was so big that there was no really door at one part of the shower. That's how big it was. And anyway, so but what happened is I got there and I see my robe laid out on the bed, on the king-size bed. And then I didn't notice any other robes. I looked in the closet. There was only one other robe. I went, okay. But I kind of ignored that until it was time to go sleepy by. This is the bar. You know, you should check the couch to see if there happens to be any linens on it. This is like, you know, almost like 11 o'clock at night. And sure enough, there was nothing. There was nothing there that indicated that there would be someone sleeping on the couch. And when I called them and confronted them on this, is what the story was, they said, you know, oh, they only do it by request. And I went, request? I mean, when you're checking in and they're seeing that there are three people, why do I have to request that the couch be made up, let alone, even if it wasn't made up, to at least have the bedding or something that would indicate somebody was sleeping there. And, well, as it turned out, I tried. I wasn't able to speak to the person, I guess, on duty, but there was the general manager, Bob, who I was supposed to get an interview from. Not only couldn't make it that evening for me, it was like late in the afternoon, couldn't even make it for that. He said it'll be there 9 o'clock the next day, and 9 o'clock came, and he still wasn't there. 9:30 we had to leave because we had to go to the Queen Mary hotel. And I did put in a call to ask, you know, why he didn't deal with the interview and everything else, and got no response. Phone call did not come back. So I'm not sure, you know, when it comes to bragging about a hotel, there's certain parts you can, certain parts you can't. What you going to do? So anyhow, so, well, that evening, we had gone to a restaurant called La Traviata. And at La Traviata, aside from being an Italian restaurant, they have a singer there who kind of sings both, opera and some, little popular kind of music, but mostly like opera. So the first interview that I want to share is with Mario Nassab, who's the owner, and he's first talking about the restaurant.
At this time of getting closer to the opening, people just are start building the restaurant. I have a built restaurant. I just have to change it over. You know, that's what I'm doing. This is Violetta. You know what's so funny about all this? Because this old wood is all going to go, darling. I am changing all this. This is the sadness in here we're talking about. You know, because I don't want to pretend myself to be another like opera house in here anymore. I've done it for 12 years. And now I just thought it's been 2 years of me being out, coming back. I'd like to do something new. So I'm actually in transition right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. You know, so we're going to go change all this beautiful art and put them back for the memories and restart some, some local artists. Having a monthly rotation, 2 months rotation. Depends on the good art and all that. And give some liveliness to this room particularly. Because this has been aesthetic like this for a very long time. And even they have so much sun on some of this, like, you know, off-peak art anyway. So they all got really out of shape.
Wow.
I want to change that. I want to change all this. Make it a bit more accessible for you, bring the younger crowd as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, but you still utilize the room? Like,
this is a classic look. You don't screw around with that, my darling.
No, I'm saying you still utilize, in other words, as you get more people coming in, then you go
into
the room?
Look,
or,
let me tell you a little story about
this
place. This is their place that's been here 12 years.
Yeah.
Okay? Only the last 2 years I haven't been here.
Oh.
Okay, prior to that, we had a grand business in there. Not that, I guess I did it all. I did it, yes. But it was a beautiful place. And a Friday like this, you would really wait to be seated. Well, most every restaurant was doing well, including ourselves. But my case was that I had to live in here because I had a buyout proposal. And I had to kind of like, I took it as this is a deal, and I walked out. But they just screwed around. They never paid. So I had to come back in here to reclaim.
Oh, okay.
Do you see what I mean?
So you have all plans for this?
Now I have to do, you know, that's my beloved place, La Traviata, for years. I brought in the most magnificent singers in here. Lots of movies been filmed in here, believe it or not. Oh, my God. You know, almost the entire summer we had Ally McBeal being filmed in here. You know the show Ally McBeal?
Yeah.
All the time. Very nice place, very fun place. House of Fog and Sand.
So is it showing the reruns of Ally McBeal?
You would definitely recognize it.
Okay.
You would recognize this hole with this outdoors in here. This was an outdoors restaurant in Chicago. First, one thing that I remember very well, that was the outside restaurant, and they used, you know, extras sitting around here in this tables here to make the scene like this is the restaurant and that is the outdoors.
Right.
Magnificent look. They thought this chair. See that over there?
Yeah.
Chairs. They would lit up this one like this was in Paris. Incredible, I swear.
I always go, I always advise Sadie, I said, well, guys, they already know what they're doing. Why don't you do that? Why don't you just put a few beautiful projector lights, you know, put some colors on that gorgeous light, you know, light up there and make it a nice little land that people enjoy and going, looks like nobody cares what people think about their environment, their look around and be proud that they got a nice looking building in there. That is a shame to me. It's a gorgeous building.
So let's go on into the other room that's...
Yes, walk it. So this is our Violetta room. Violetta was the name of the heroine of the opera.
Okay, so that was one of the portions that he talked about. Then we had gone to a different room because, well, we had dinner, all kinds of goodies at a tasting, and so that was the next portion of that court. Here we are.
Okay, so we started with what?
I believe you did with the Tortelli, the Tortelli di Lambrusco, yeah, if you say it that way. But
okay, and describe, how would you describe it?
A very delicate kind of pastry that is contains a good lobster mix inside, you know, and then after being like prepared with the porcini cream sauce, you add garnishes of all sorts, and that's what we serve it to. And then nice porcini cream sauce in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
a bit of a tartufo. Bit of a tartufo in that. Tough one.
And then the second item.
Did you have the Chilean sea bass, huh?
Yes.
Well, Chilean sea bass is a fish that you really don't have to do much to make it taste good.
You have to cook it correctly. Yes.
That's exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. The fish itself is marvelous as is. You know, it's very, it comes from the very wildest parts of the ocean, right down there. And it's known, by the way, the secret is not even a sea bass of some sort, merluzzo, some they call it around down there. It's a Patagonian toothfish. Magnificent. Very lovely.
Yeah,
very rare now. Well, we I think if the fish gets out of the water, I would probably, our business gets out of the Anyways.
Then there was the salad. I know, I know it had pecan, no. What, was a walnut in it?
Yeah, the Californian meadows, we call it. And it is a beautiful melody of the different greens, pretty much of the, it's all local produce around. You know, let me say local, from grapevine down. Local in California. Light dressed with the orange vinaigrette, I believe, is in there too, yeah. Mm. The walnuts, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And there was the cheese that was feta, no. It was, what kind of cheese?
Oh, those are the crumbles. They did the crumbles and the blue cheese.
Oh, the blue cheese. Okay, yes.
Yes.
Okay. And then we had dessert. No. Then we had
the sorbet.
The sorbet.
And actually, it wasn't even a sorbet. That one I explained to you. That was, we do a lot of in between courses sorbets. That there are standards, as you said, lemon and, you know, or very nice. Strawberries is not that popular in between courses, but sometimes you can do a little bit of it because people expect a strawberry at the end. Lemon is always a very safe choice to have as a taste cleanser. But this young man was here, as I said, very well educated, good experience, worked in a couple of fancy restaurants in Vegas even. So I asked him to give something like that to me, and he came up with that. Although he complained that what he wanted to use wasn't quite what he wanted to use, but he was quite happy about his production. And that, I have to leave that to him to explain.
No.
Nice little sorbet.
Then we had the filet mignon. Was it filet mignon?
Yes.
Filet mignon, it was over spinach and mashed potatoes?
Mashed potatoes,
okay.
Indeed. Yes.
And some
very
asparagus?
Simple,
yeah.
Asparagus comes seasonal if it's good and lovely and tends to be served.
The sauce, was there a sauce? Well, or just there was on the sides a little bit?
I believe he had the green peppercorn sauce.
Oh, okay.
Yes, green peppercorns with a touch of cognac in that.
Ah,
mustard.
Okay. And then the dessert, we had a tiramisu.
Yes, that's standard if you ever
get it. And a creme brulee.
Yes.
Vanilla creme brulee.
Well, I would like to think that the creme brulee in here has always been very wonderful, you know.
Actually,
because of the amounts that we can do, you know. You know, sometimes it's just not like if you can do this as a few of the of some dessert and look good. If you can produce them in numbers as well, that's important. That means that you know how to do this stuff. And, you know, Trinidad, Jose, he does magnificently. I trust him more than any other pastry chef, actually. The chef himself, the chef that, chef
right.
de cuisine. He does the most beautiful creme brulee. If he puts his mind on there, always does magnificent.
And then we topped it off with some real honest limoncello.
Did you actually have
yes.
limoncello?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And it's right from Italy, isn't it? Is
of
it
course,
from Italy?
Limoncello.
Yes.
Limoncello.
Limoncello, yes. That's the article that's in the newspaper that I have, the Italian-American newspapers, about the limoncello.
It's the hottest good stuff that you could have after. It really is, goes back again, by the way, to that same cleansing business.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't go through those courses, you could very much, after have your dinner, you could have a beautiful limoncello, as you were so adequately asking for it, and enjoy it very much.
Now, do you also have espresso? And do you and do you use it like an Italian?
How else would you use an espresso?
Well, some people.
Oh, die.
Some people have espresso, but it's not an Italian coffee.
Look, I'll tell you how I drink my espresso.
Yeah.
I drink my espresso nice and tight with a good creamy top.
Uh-huh.
And then I put a little bit of a sampura. No matter when, what time of the day. So actually, I love it in the morning more than anything else. That's called caffè corretto.
Uh-huh.
On Sambuca.
Right.
That's how I like my espresso. So you can rest assured that when I talk about espresso, this house comes up with a great-looking creamy espresso. We use Lavazza. Yeah. We use Lavazza coffee, which is well-known around. It's not Ely, but it's Lavazza. You know, it's not Testarossa, but it's not throwing it there.
Okay. Great. Thanks a bunch. Yeah, well, I could see me. I'd probably get drunk on with the espresso. I mean, not only would I get wired, but drunk at the same time. What you heard in the background, you heard Cheryl Smith singing. Well, here's a little more of that so you can hear it even clearer.
Yeah.
Wow, that was some aria, huh? I'll tell you. So I had Cheryl. Well, you could see in the background there were people chatting, I guess trying to talk over her singing. Anyway, I had Cheryl come over to the table, and we.
Wow, that's some great singing that you've been doing. Thank you. Who are you? What is your name?
My name is Cheryl Smith.
Cheryl Smith.
Yeah, I know.
How real Italian that is.
I know. I thought it was Cheryl Smith. If anybody has an interesting name, I've been looking for one for years.
Oh, okay.
It is what it is.
So, now, how long have you been, doing, opera?
Opera I actually started doing in college. I grew up with that training. My mother's a classically trained coloratura soprano, so I grew up around it, never thought about it. Did all the typical things, singing in church and sang in school, but I never thought about it. And then when I realized I had to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, I realized, I can sing, so I've been pursuing it.
So what have you done with it? I mean, other than you just do club kind of stuff, you ever do theater?
I did do theater. I did a couple shows at the Long Beach Civic Light Opera with there was a company with Carol Burnett, and then I did some other little things up in LA, and I've put on a lot of personal shows with other groups, with myself and with other performers in town and in LA and in Orange County as well. So.
And you've been doing this since, in terms of, professionally?
Professionally?
Yeah.
For over 15 years.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I guess you like it.
I do. It seems to be what I'm meant to do. The road always seems to meet me. So.
Who are your, the singers that you look up to or whatever?
Oh, that's such a hard one.
Particular one?
Yeah, there are singers that I grew up listening to that influenced me, that I loved. Of course, Barbara Streisand, loved her to death, and then Linda Ronstadt, opera. There's Anna Mofo and Maria Callas, and currently I love Michael Bublé, and I just love all kinds of singers. There's so much music that's influenced me over the years. It's hard to say. I could create a long list of singers.
How about Sarah? I could sing that one a long way.
Sarah Brightman.
Sarah Brightman.
She definitely influenced me listening to her. Yeah, I appreciate her music and her style.
Do you know who Sarah Wright is?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, I was just curious because she was a hometown coloratura, and she was in that thing with Sweeney Todd.
Oh, right. Yeah,
coloratura.
Yeah.
And what are your, how long have you been playing this place? Rabiata?
Gosh, around 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah, I know. I've come and gone. I've done things, but it's been one of those rare places, that I have.
Which do you have one prior to the other in terms of singing opera or non-opera?
I like mixing it up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing more of this, is because I consider myself more of a cabaret artist, because it allows me to mix, meaning and song. So.
Okay. Well, let me know when you're back to do the next operatic song, because we're going to record that.
All right.
Okay?
Great.
Okay. Thanks a bunch.
Grazie.
Well, one thing, if you had heard silence in the background, it would indicate that there's nobody else in the restaurant. So that's, but people are just there to enjoy themselves, have great food. The address, by the way, for anybody who goes out there to Long Beach, is 301 Cedar Avenue. GPS it. I'm not sure. We're driving all over the place. Sometimes the GPS is giving the right directions, the wrong directions. It may not be accounting for some street that's closed, but, we managed to get there anyhow. The next morning, we were slayed. That's why we went to the Queen Mary Hotel, And before even get to that, we didn't really. We kind of were able to check into a room. Actually, we got the. It was like a two-bedroom suite, I guess. So two bedrooms. One had a large, a king-size bed. The other had like two twins, I think. And the odd thing about it was, okay, so the bathroom is located in the area where the two beds are, and the bathroom has the toilet, the shower, the sink. But now there's a second sink, and it's located in that same second bedroom. So let's see. So the person or whoever is in the room with the king size bed, which is I guess like the main room, would have to go into the other room just to use the sink. And so why bother? Because if you've already gotten into the other room to use the sink, you might as well just continue on and go into the bathroom. Okay. No shit, you say. All right. So I'll get into the Queen Mary later on, but we went the next thing, the Italian part, to continue, was that we went on a gondola ride. That's because this area of, this is an area of Naples Island, and they have gondolas. So here, just come along with us and relax and enjoy the whole thing.
This here is Alamitos Bay. There's three islands in the middle of the bay here that are separated by canals. So we're going to do on this one is just cut across the bay, go into the canal, do a loop around the inner island, and then head back out.
Okay.
So really it's just one big circle. If you guys have any questions about the houses or the history there or anything like that, feel free to ask. I know everything.
Well, okay, the houses, is there anything specific that we should kind of look for or look at?
No, there's no HOA here. So the houses are all completely different in styles and when they were built and everything. So it's all just kind of unique.
Now, is this what part of, I guess they call Naples?
Yeah, the three islands together are known as Naples. Mm-hmm. It's just the neighborhood.
Would you say that they're authentic
or
Italian-American?
Well, that's hard to say just because there's so many different regions of Italy that all have different kinds of food. But yeah, I would say for the most part, they're pretty authentic. Probably the most authentic one that I know of is actually around the corner. Not in Naples, but a few blocks away. Called Cafe Gazelle. It's delicious.
Do they happen to serve gelato?
I don't think so.
Do any of them serve gelato?
There's a few places around here that serve gelato, but none of the restaurants that I know of.
What about would you say the gelato is authentic, or you don't know?
Gelato tastes better in Italy, in Europe. The gelato always tastes better than it does here. It's kind of like laying in a hammock in the Bahamas. You know, it's always better in the Bahamas.
Oh, okay.
You can get a hammock here, but it's not going to be as comfortable as that one that was in the Bahamas.
Yeah. All right, I get you. So you like the idea of just standing up and rowing?
This is the most efficient way to row. And this is the Venetian style of rowing, so I like it. It's the most fun for me. I've rowed the American style, I've rowed Venetian. Venetian's much better. But I will point out this house right up here on the corner, the one on the right. That house is the most expensive house in Long Beach.
This one right here?
Yeah. You guys want me to turn on the music, or?
Oh, of course. Gotta have a little background of
just a little Dean Martin, you know? The good stuff.
So do you use Dean Martin music while you're doing this, or it just happened to come on?
I mix it up.
Okay, I'm just curious. I have a friend that's extremely into Dean Martin.
It's good music, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I'll switch off between like Andrea Bocelli and Dean Martin.
Do you have an Andrea Bocelli there, too?
Not on me right now. It's in the office. I gotta burn it before I can come out. So I've played the same CD over and over again, it's driving me nuts.
I noticed that people are sort of like doing a mix.
I can't hear you over that engine right now.
Oh, okay.
What was that?
I was to say, it looks like people are doing their own sort of makeshift of a gondola. Where they're standing on something.
Yep. We have two Venetian boats that were made in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
But neither of those are gondolas either. We have one Pucurino and one Sombolo. But we had a true Venetian gondola. It just wouldn't work in here. We have too many other boats. In Venice, you need a license to drive a boat on the water. Here, any old schmuck can get in a boat and drive around in it and get drunk.
Oh.
Venetian boats cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And, I mean, do you really want to trust a $100,000 boat with somebody driving at you who's hammered and doesn't know how to drive a boat?
Yeah.
So, we're going to do our own thing to make it work.
I guess you've been to Italy then.
I have. I went over there for the Volga Longa, which is a big rowing regatta that they have. It's about 20 miles through the Venetian Lagoon. It is just a great experience. It's the only time each year that they open up the Grand Canal for non-Venetians to row gondolas on.
Oh.
So it's kind of awesome to be like one of the few Americans to row a gondola on the Grand Canal.
Oh.
Without electricity, so it's like green without green. But their daughter is an Olympic swimmer. And their other daughter's probably going to be my future wife.
Probably? Or?
Probably. She doesn't know it yet, but...
Oh.
You know, that's why I work here, is just inspiring the dude's daughters. Gotta get sugar mommy, you know. Easier than working for my money.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, looking at these the three houses, how these three are so completely different.
Yeah. White house coming up on the left. It's the oldest house on the island. So this house, right, it was built in 1906. Over here.
On the left?
Or, sorry.
On the right?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, I haven't
one?
Done that since elementary school.
This one here, you're saying?
Yeah, that was built in 1906.
Wow.
That was a model home for the area. And originally it was a hunting lodge.
Ahoy!
Ciao, ciao.
The building with all the flags is coming up.
But he will.
Would you say that these are like $1 million homes or even more?
Well, this one that we're passing right here, back here on the left.
Yeah.
That one's on sale right now for 1.7.
Oh, I see. On sale.
So, they vary. If you have to go underneath a bridge to get to your house, it lowers the value of your house quite a bit. See you soon.
Hi. How are you doing?
Okay.
Did you
join
today?
Oh, certainly.
Nice house.
Is this any particular, just someone's house that has all the flags?
Nobody of importance. I obviously don't know the Korean flag too well because it's upside down.
Okay.
Red goes on top.
And how about the, is that just somebody putting a pirate up ahead just for the heck of it?
Oh, no, that's not just any pirate.
Oh, it's not?
No, that pirate's a very good friend of mine.
Oh.
Yeah. We go way back. Pretty much my favorite captain ever.
Amazes me, I guess because I don't know how to swim, that they just like get on some board and do that.
Yeah. It's a really popular sport these days. Everybody's doing it. Good old Captain Morgan.
Ah.
Have you ever eaten at Buster's?
Yeah, I've eaten at Buster's.
That's where we're going for lunch. Am I to be warned or it's okay?
It's okay.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't put it as anything special. You guys set on that, or are you open for suggestions?
Well, I'm set on it. I called ahead. I was trying to pick a restaurant to to write about that's in this area, and didn't see a lot of them listed, or I couldn't tell where they were. Where would you suggest it?
My favorite restaurant for lunch is a place called Beachwood Barbecue. Just past Buster's and Seal Beach. So Buster's is right on the border of Long Beach and Seal Beach. It's like just past it, but on the Seal Beach side. But Buster's isn't bad at all. It draws an older crowd. Not where people my age hang out.
Okay.
Except on the weekends. Friday, Saturday nights, there's a band that plays there called the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
I guess that was it. Oh, was that it? Okay. I thought there was we were going to get closer, that we were going to talk, I guess. Did I miss this? I'm not sure if I missed this. Then we got to an area where there was a sea lion in the water. Yeah. As for Buster's, okay. Well, we did go to Buster's, and I don't know. I guess I don't think he's. Was into dealing with the quality of the food as much as the atmosphere, because the food we had was excellent. If I can remember everything, I know the dessert thing, because the dessert thing was kind of like a surfboard shaped pizza, but they didn't use a pizza crust, and it had all these various berries and fruit on it. That was kind of cool. What did we have? Oh, we started off with the coconut shrimp cocktail. That's what we had. We started with the coconut shrimp. I forgot what I had. I had fish. Barbara, I think, had fish too. Barbara, do you know what we ate? Do you happen to remember what we ate at Buster's? I would have to go into my photos to take a look, because, you know, I take pictures of everything. But in the meantime, the gondola thing, it's called Gondola Getaway, and it's located at 5437 East Ocean Boulevard. And it's near, like, that area called of Naples Island. Anyway, Buster's was kind of neat. I think it was like in this like little sort of shopping center-ish thing. But I got that if you were like staying on the Queen Mary, they have these free shuttles that go around to take you different places. But it'll take you downtown, and I understand this would have cost you a whole dollar and a quarter to get to Buster's, but we didn't do any of the shuttle bus stuff. Unless Barbara can remember what we ate. I mean, food was good. It was well prepared. I thought the price was not overpriced at all. I mean, quality price matched. you know, nothing like, I think the, like maybe $12-$13, I guess, for lunch entree kind of thing. Anyway, so that was pretty cool. And, well, before I continue, must have a...
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
And you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com, and you can get the cookies as well, double chocolate cookies. So it's that wonderful fudgy kind of cookie with chocolate chips in it. Oh, God, there's no chocolate in the house. I shouldn't have played that commercial. Oh, well, okay. Back to the show. Now, okay, so what did we do? Well, let's see. The Queen Mary thing. Well, let me play the thing on the Queen Mary before we get to another food thing. The food thing will be last. But we had interviewed this guy, John, that was in a gift, I guess, well, kind of like a gift shop. But this gift shop had a lot of historical things from the Queen Mary versus hysterical things. And so here's John being interviewed. Okay.
We're on the Queen Mary here. And this is John, who works in...
The story here is called Pastimes Collectibles, and we have a wide collection of maritime antiques and memorabilia. In addition, we also have a collection of Life magazines and Time, any issue you want. If you want one for yourself or a friend for their birthday, we can get it for you.
So how long have you been working on the Queen Mary?
Well, actually, in this store, I've only been here about a little over a year, but I've been coming to the Queen Mary ever since I was a little kid.
Now, when did the Queen Mary, like, what was the last voyage?
Well, she entered our harbor here on my birthday.
Oh, which was?
December 9th, 1967. That was my 11th birthday. And not too long after that, when I was about 12 or 13, I and two other friends, we rode our bicycles here. Check it out.
So you've lived in this area basically your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand you know a lot of history about the Queen Mary?
Yes. I've always loved history. You know, there's the history of everything. History of trains and ships and politics and countries. And I have a... bachelor's degree from UCLA, but at the same time I didn't want to make life teaching, but I enjoyed buying things and getting good deals, so I started off as a buyer in aerospace. 25 years later, with the economy going bad, my wife and I just kind of settled back and said, well, let's go on the Queen Mary and have our 10th wedding anniversary there. So we spent the night, and I said to her, oh, Catherine, I want to come into the shop. I love the shop, you know. I love buying things. And one of my coworkers, Linda, remembered me. And so I just happened to mention, if you ever need anybody who knows a lot about ocean liners and maritime history, I'm your person. And about 2 months later, they interviewed me over the phone, and then I came here for a second interview.
What are the most interesting things that you relate to people about the ship?
Interesting things? Well, one, it's still a ship. And a lot of people think, oh, it's cemented in or it's just, you know. it's floating right now.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, they had to take some of the engines out to make room for the museum. And actually, it's a good thing because the museum, you have to go take it. It's a self-guided tour, and we have...
Where is the museum located?
It's down the rear of the ship.
Okay, on what? On this level?
No, it's. I believe it's down in... part of it is our deck. We have the information booth right up the door here on the
mm-hmm.
promenade.
Okay.
And give you all the information. We have a customer.
Okay. So, actually, what I would love to ask you about is this whole thing regarding the ghosts on this ship.
Sure.
Now, have you encountered any?
Indirectly. I've never seen any ghosts.
Okay.
But we have this music here that we sell.
Yes.
Music of the 30s. And it was originally recorded here on the Queen Mary. And it seems like the ghosts really like this music. I have a CD player, and it's rather old. When I put the CD inside the machine, you have to hit radio, CD, and then it'll blink. You got to let it wait, and then it goes to track, the last track, 14. Then you got to hit it 13, 12, all the way to 1. Then hit play. When it plays through all 14, that's it. You would have to push the button to go back. Twice this has happened to me where I haven't been behind the counter to see what happened, but I'll be over there replenishing the stock trees and the CD player starts to play. And there's no way it could have done that unless somebody goes 11, 10, 9, 8, back to 1 and then hit play.
Huh.
And in addition to that, I've been here where I've seen that note card tree there,
mm-hmm.
Display stand, start moving like this as if somebody's looking at it. And it's not just moving slightly because there's like a breeze, because there's no breeze.
Right.
But it looks like somebody's actually like taking a look at it. Now my wife has actually seen a ghost on the ship. She was on the front of the ship at the bow, and a large man walked past her in a Navy sailor's outfit with a big red beard. And he kind of looked like he was just staring straight ahead, oblivious of everything. Her first thought was, I didn't know that they could have big beards in the Navy. So she turned to ask him about that, and there was nobody there. And there was no way he could run away because they're on the bow. And if anything, he would have had to run past her to get away. So that was the strangest thing.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And what I've also had is in the stern was like a holding room, and both my wife and I, when we've gone in there, you suddenly just get this heavy feeling of dread, just, and it really hits you, and you're like, I gotta get out of here. Something bad happened here. Yeah, it's scary. It's
all right.
You don't want to stay there. I've only felt that one time before, and that was at the Santa Barbara Mission in the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at the graves and thinking about how long these people were here. And also I had this heavy feeling. When we walked back inside the church, there was a sign, and it said, this cemetery, in addition to the founders who are buried here in the crypts, the cement vault, over 400 Native Indians are buried there.
That's cool.
So I instantly felt like, ooh, that's
yeah.
That's them, you know, crying out because they had such a tough life.
Okay, so you said there's a museum, the self-guided tour, the museum,
mm-hmm.
and the location. You said, where is most of the?
Okay, what you'd have to do is actually leave the ship, go down to like our deck, and there's a walkway to the rear of the ship.
Oh, okay.
And there's another entrance near the rear on the port side. And you can go down, and they have a rather large museum display. And they even built a room around one of the original propellers, the propeller room. And you can actually leave the ship, you know, and see the propeller underwater.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take that tour.
I think you'll have fun.
All right. Thank you, John.
Sure. Nice meeting you.
Well, we didn't take that tour because I had some walking problems lately. So, but we did
At some point, we did a little bit of a our own ghost tour, as we had some special equipment, and it was actually Esther and Eunice who wanted to check out to see if there were any ghosts in the area. So we did that little tour. That'll be on video. Now, before I go to the food one, where we're eating at Gladstone's for seafood, it's time for one other commercial on how I arrived in Long Beach.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room. I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yeah. JetBluing. They just, as a matter of fact, they recently broke ground for another terminal there at Long Beach. Which, in a way, it's a shame. It's a really small airport. I hope they don't make it too big. But now, so our last interview, we ate at this great place called Gladstone's. Now, it was like this whole like downtown area has, you can see there's a Ferris wheel located at Borders, and you can actually use a Ferris wheel. But there's sort of like a replication of like a Coney Island style by having this structure that sort of looks like a roller coaster, but it's not. From a distance, people might think it's an actual roller coaster. And in this area, it's near the water, and it's there are a lot of, I didn't see many shops in terms of like boutique shops to buy things, but there was a whole load of restaurants, that's for sure. Lots of restaurants. And so we had eaten in one Gladstone's and did an interview with the general manager, Scott Hewitt.
Well, we're here over at Gladstone's in Long Beach, and I'm talking with Scott Hewitt, the general manager of this fabulous seafood place. So how long have you been here, by the way?
I opened it up 6 years ago.
Now, when you say you opened up, there were other locations and you opened this one?
I was the opening general manager. I came from Malibu, was in Malibu for about 5 years. And then this is a licensee of the name, so we are not the same company, we're a separate company. So I came down and opened a restaurant.
And you specialize in seafood.
Seafood, absolutely.
Wow.
We do have New York, we do have filet, but definitely the seafood.
Well, tell me about what we ate here tonight.
Well, you did have the mahi-mahi, which is a wonderful item, as well as the ahi. The ahi special is with bok choy with the wasabi cream sauce, which is excellent. The chef's had that for several years on the menu, and it's a great seller. We've brought in the Dungeness crab, which is wonderful.
Let me ask you about the Dungeness crab. I mean, they're caught on this coast, right?
Right.
Which makes it nice and fresh. I happen to like Dungeness crab. I find it to be the least salty and the most meat to get at.
Most definitely. We do crack everything open for you, except for, as you know, the legs, and you have to pull and get the meat out of that. But as far as the shell itself, we separate it for you so you can get in and get the meat, which is wonderful.
Okay, now, you also have a whole separate thing on sushi. You have a sushi chef.
Yes, yes.
As opposed to a sous chef.
Yes.
Right.
do have a sushi chef. He's been with me since I opened up. We have several sushi chefs in there. They work around some of the other local restaurants, including ours, which is wonderful. Oaxaca has just done an outstanding job creating menu specials for us. I'm sure you had one tonight. And it's incredible. I mean, we have gentlemen who are experts at sushi. They understand the different types of grade of the sushi. And it's incredible. I mean, we do a good job here.
Are you getting any sushi, and I don't know whether you can, I have to say getting sushi fresh, meaning a lot of sushi is kind of like packaged.
Right. A lot of the sushi we get is like that. You know, we have to follow standards. We can't take a risk that somebody may, the sushi itself is not prepared properly.
Yeah.
We do a great job here with the sushi we get brought in.
Okay.
And it is definitely grade A sushi we get brought in.
Well, that's good to know. I had the roll. I had the Three Amigos.
Three Amigos.
Oh, come over here. Come on over here. It's our wonderful waitress. Describe the Three Amigos roll that we had.
No.
You don't know? Okay. I'll have you come back later and talk.
Send out Oaxaca. Send out Oaxaca. Logan just does an incredible job. He creates most of our specials, not all of them. We do change our sushi menu on occasion, as well as our normal menu. We have that flexibility being a solo restaurant that we can, bring in certain items. As you can see, our fresh fish, we do change that regularly. Whatever is available. Certain items like halibut's only available certain times of the year. So we try to bring in the freshest fish that we can during the season and give our guests the availability of some different variety to come through.
Can you tell us a little bit about this whole pier over here?
We opened up 6 years ago. This whole area has been developed in the last 10 years. It's done a great job. We're right down to water. We have boat docks. I've got the Queen Mary right off what I call the stern of my deck because it's kind of shaped like a boat out here on the deck with the fire pit, which is wonderful. Got a little New England port style here with all the boat docks and the restaurants. It's really gorgeous. We have a lighthouse right out to the right-hand side here with the lovely light from San Pedro and Long Beach Harbor, and it's just incredible.
Now, this whole thing is, I see a lot of restaurants here. There anything else that's in this?
We have movie theaters, we have bookstores.
In this area, I mean.
Okay,
yeah.
Right across the street,
okay.
We have a comedy show, which is the Laugh Factory. It came from Hollywood, so they got the Laugh Factory over here. We got some great hotels. We do have a couple of theaters over here, as well as bookstores and other small little boutique stores, and special with candies and other things, too. So.
How about in terms of the economy? Is it a fine place, like... Not a problem? I mean, people are coming here to spite, or?
I think people when they want to come out, they'll come out. You know, we're blessed to have that in this area. I think people are, I think Long Beach itself has been pretty stable. It's been rough all over the country, but I think we've been pretty blessed in this area. And as far as our restaurant, we've been pretty steady. And we want to thank all of our customers for that. We have a lot of regulars.
So now, in terms of the seafood, so we're looking at, you have the sushi, you have a lot of shellfish, or as I say, the non-kosher fish, the shellfish. What do you have besides? You have crab, you have shrimp.
We have lobster. We do a great job. It's a live Maine lobster we bring in.
Somehow I can't imagine having the Maine lobster on this coast.
Yes, but that's as most people know, a lot of the major restaurants out there, live Maine lobster is definitely very dependable, and it's a great product for us. So, as well as the fresh fish, like you said, and we do have other things we talked about as far as meat items too. But we do to focus on our fish product.
All right. So, for someone who's allergic to fish altogether, what do you got?
We have our filet. We have a New York steak. We have some awesome ribs. We have chicken. So we run the gamut. We have everything on a menu. Even though we say we're a fish restaurant, we're for fish and fun, and we have everything else involved with it too.
Do you have any kind of, I have noticed, do you have any kind of entertainment ever?
We do. On Friday and Saturday nights, we have live entertainment in our bar area, as well as here on the deck. On Sundays, we have a steel drum player. It plays incredible. It makes you feel like you're in the tropical islands.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So are you going to have entertainment tonight?
Yeah, they're in the bar right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's what I'm hearing. I can't tell where it's coming from. I must be coming from in there.
Exactly. We do pipe it throughout the whole restaurant, too, which is nice.
That's really great. So this is it's a real fun place to be, huh?
It's an awesome place to be. I've been fortunate to be down here for the last 6 years and look at it and have to put up with all this every day. It's wonderful.
Yeah, but I know. Put up with it.
Right, yeah.
Oh, Lord. It's like my job. Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's going to do it. And I enjoy it, most definitely.
That's really great. Now, we haven't gotten to eating any of the desserts. Tell me about what you got for dessert.
We have a variety of things. We have a creme brulee, which is wonderful. We have our chocolate cake, which is a mile-high chocolate cake. It actually feeds about 4 people. It's 4 layers of cake, and it's just incredible. It's incredible. We cut it in slices, and it's just amazing.
Are you making all your desserts here?
Most of our desserts we do make here.
Okay.
We do have a upside-down macadamia nut apple pie with coconut ice cream, which is wonderful, as well as our apple and blueberry cobbler with ice cream.
Mm-hmm. And the ice cream you're not making here, are you?
No, we don't.
I always like to find it someplace.
It would have been nice.
I'm looking for a good gelato place around
here. There you go.
So, okay, I guess we'll at some point try something for dessert. So I guess you plan to be here a long time, huh?
Long time.
All right.
Absolutely.
What and your chef? What's his chef's name?
Pete Lamar.
Okay. And you said he's been here for
since I opened up.
Since you opened up.
He's been the creative mind behind the menu. He's done an excellent job.
Now, when he's come here, because I was curious, has he come from doing a different cuisine prior to coming here?
He's most of his career, a lot of his career has been with fish in the background. He is Danish. So he has that background too, and he's come from the Culinary Institute, so he's incredible. He's done an outstanding job.
That's great. So has he had an opportunity to create things here?
Absolutely. Just like the Ahi Special over there and some other items.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I got to tell you something. I usually will not eat that because I'm so used to having tuna raw. That it's like either give it to me raw or don't cook it.
Right.
I mean, don't. Once you start cooking it, I always get this. Okay, now I'm eating fish. This is the first time, honest, that I've had this. That part of it had been cooked, and it didn't taste like. Oh, there's that fishy taste. I have to commend you on that.
Good.
Definitely. I don't know why, but it's really good. But it could also be the sauce.
The wasabi cream sauce is awesome.
Okay. Well, that's absolutely fine. Anything you'd like to add?
I'm just happy to be here. I think we do a great job here, and I just want to be here for another 20 to 40 years. It'd be awesome.
Well, I'll be back in about another 20 to 40 years to see if you're here.
Meryl, thanks for coming.
Okay.
And it's definitely a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, now, boy, I'm telling you, if I don't have, I had chicken for dinner. The funny thing was, like, I thought I had enough of fish. Everywhere we went, I just wanted to keep having fish. And everywhere we went, it was like everybody seemed to have sushi. So the next day, we were getting a tour of the different areas of Long Beach. And we stopped for lunch at a place called, I think it was called Volcano. Wacko. Something like that. I'll look it up. but it was like Asian fusion, and I said, "Oh, gotta have meat." But there was this sushi roll that it was like the sushi party roll that had all kinds of stuff in it, on it, including lobster and the bay scallops. I had to have that, and what I wound up having is Korean short ribs. Had to have meat, but that was great. That was a great spot. I have a video of the sushi chef doing his thing.
with the entertainment in the background. So I'll be putting that on my YouTube. And so let's see. So I think that was just about, I think I covered, did I? Let's see, let me ask, maybe Barb remembers. Let's say, did I cover everything? Let's see what she, now that need a question mark here. We're doing this, we're doing this thing, this chat. It's interesting that you can chat with somebody at the same time. Now I push send. Let's see. I think I covered everything. And what's my next show? Let's see. Well, I'm trying to get that one done with Bob's Restaurant. That probably will be the next show. If not, I had gone after being in Long Beach, I went off to Irvine, or should I say back to Irvine. And although I probably had these people on before, back in February, I'm probably going to get these people on again, because now I can relate to actually being there. So, well, I'm gonna go end the show a little early, and so, I'll hear you, see you, I can't say see you, on the next show. So have a great night, day, or whatever you're having, and good weather, too. Bye.